Calvary Christian Center in Fortuna. And we've actually been on the coast for almost 17 years now, which is crazy. But we pastored there for a while, youth pastor, became the senior leaders in 05. And my good friend Willie Bowles, who went through just a really difficult time as his wife passed away from MS, he moved back to Humboldt County, and he was pastoring a church in Arcata. And we were running the discipleship school. It's called Bethel School of Supernatural Discipleship. And through a series of events, we merged our churches together. We just said, hey, we want to work together. So let's merge our churches together. So we did a Sunday morning in Fortuna and a Sunday night in Arcata, which we still do. But this past summer, kind of crazy, but we had another church in our area that's a really significant church in Eureka called Bethel, that their leadership came to us, I think it was in May or June of last year, and said, hey, listen, we're struggling and we really need your help. Would you guys come and take our church? And the crazy thing is about that, I'm living it now, so sometimes you don't, it's kind of like when your kids are growing up, you don't realize how they're growing. I was telling the story to somebody and they stopped me and I said, wait a second, somebody gave you their church? And I said, yeah, they came to us and asked us to take their church over. And it's like a $2 million facility. It's crazy. We're actually going to host the school there next year. So go figure. This is amazing. And what God's doing on the coast is just redeeming what I believe is the greatest Jesus movement that we're ever going to see. It's amazing what God, I mean, when I moved there in 99, it was a dark place. And really difficult, a lot of witchcraft, a lot of, I mean, we still have drug use, but we're just believing people are going to start getting high on the Most High and having encounters with Jesus. Our prayer is that people would drive through Humboldt and just meet God. So good stuff is happening, and thrilled to be with you guys here today. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 4. This is literally one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I want to talk to you about becoming a sustainable resource today. John chapter 4. And we're going to take this in three parts today. So, verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Since I am a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But everyone who drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water I will give him will become in him a well springing up into eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are an eternal spring. And Lord, that we have the opportunity to drink from that well anytime we need it. And Lord, that you have actually placed that well within us. And so today, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear what you have made available to us, God. That we would never complain because we lack. We would never complain because we don't have solutions. But that we would know that the ultimate solution lives within us. That you would transform us today, that we would leave this place knowing that we have more available to us than when we came in. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have a life message. It's from Luke 17:21, and that is that the kingdom of heaven is within you. How many know? I love it when the Bible defines what certain things are, and the Bible defines the kingdom for us. It says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in you. Therefore, the kingdom is in you. Good news. All right? But recently, the Lord's just been sort of transforming that life message for me. And I think there's a reason why. We are, as I told you earlier, run a discipleship school. And I love our students. I, this year I had a chance to be more involved in the school than I have been in the past. And I ran my own revival group, which that was awesome. Anyway, I'll leave that there. But got to know a lot of the students really well. And one of the trends that I see is they all love the Holy Spirit. They love to encounter the Holy Spirit. They love to grow. But sometimes their expectations of what, not what that looks like, but where they're going to go is a little bit, needs to be shaped and molded a little bit. Because they all want to be Bill Johnson. Or they all want to be Chris Valentin. And, which is awesome. Those guys are great, and you should aspire to be like that. If you can get that gig, run with it. That's awesome. But we are training them to be transformed. See, the kingdom is about your transformation. It's actually not about your blessing. Blessing's in the kingdom, but it's about you being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from glory unto glory into the image of the one who created us." We are being transformed to look and act like God. That's a good deal. Yeah. But sometimes when we're so focused on what we do, we forget about what we're becoming. We're focused on what we're accomplishing, and we forget what we sang about this morning. We sing about it all the time, but we forget. Because it really is all about Jesus. It really is all about Him. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Now, the good thing is, we're never apart from Him because He made His home in us, and that's really awesome. Okay? But here's what I want to go after this morning. Can I get into teacher mode for a little bit? I don't want to bore you, but I want to set this up. Okay. In the Old Testament times, there were three types of covenants. There was a grant covenant, there was a kinship covenant, and there was a vassal covenant. The covenant that God made with Abraham and the covenant that God made with David was a, what was the first one I said? Grant covenant. Yes, see? Thank you for listening. The grant covenant looked like this. The person who made the covenant with the other person, so God in this case made a covenant with Abraham, God was responsible for the fulfillment of that covenant. If you remember, when God made the covenant with Abraham, Abraham didn't have to walk through the pieces of animal that were broken apart. God walked through it for him. And what he was saying was, I am making a covenant with you that I will die if these promises aren't fulfilled in you. That's intense. Okay? God's covenant with David was the same thing. And God actually wanted to have the same kind of covenant with Israel. That's why when they got to Mount Sinai, God wanted to meet with the people. But they were afraid of him, and they chose not to meet with God. They chose Moses as their representative. And because of that, they entered into what is called a kinship covenant. And the kinship covenant is where two parties bear the responsibility to fulfill the covenant. So Israel was on one side of the covenant, God was on the other side of the covenant, and they had to keep the same rules that God was keeping. How many know they weren't very good at it? Okay, that's why they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And over time, they entered into a vassal covenant. It wasn't God's choice, wasn't his heart, wasn't what he wanted for them. But they chose this because they didn't want relationship. They wanted to keep the rules. Okay, and in the vassal covenant, the person who is responsible for the covenant also reaps all the benefit for the covenant. Okay, but again, I want to remind you, that wasn't God's heart. That wasn't his intent. Sometimes we see all that carnage in the Old Testament. We're like, wow, God was in a bad mood. He wasn't in a bad mood. He was fulfilling what Israel had agreed to. And I don't have enough time to get into it, but you're just going to have to trust me on that one. Okay? So Jesus came to establish a new covenant, right? We're not under the old covenant anymore. We're under a new covenant. And that covenant is found in his blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. When we celebrate communion, that's what we're celebrating. And what happened in that covenant is that Jesus and his Father entered into a covenant relationship together. And it is now a grant covenant because everything is under the responsibility of Papa God. Okay? who you are, the reason God made a covenant with his son, is that who you are is found in him. Everything you are is found in him. In Ephesians, one of my favorite books in the Bible, 144 times the word in him or in Christ is found. I think it's a little bit important. Okay? In him. We find ourselves in him. Now, why is all that important other than that we sing about Jesus every Sunday? Here's why it's important. If we are going to become a sustainable resource, the relationship that we have with him is paramount. If I'm going to be a sustainable resource, I looked up a definition for sustainable resource, and it said that it's a resource that is replenished as quickly as it's used. Okay? You are a sustainable resource. That's why he was saying that to the woman at the well. Listen, I'll give you water that will cause you to never have to come back here and drink. This story is incredible. I mean, first of all, she's a woman. Secondly, she's a Samaritan woman. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, let alone Samaritan women. But Jesus meets this woman at the well. And you know the story, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but when she went to the well, it was the hottest time of the day. And the reason is revealed a little further in the story where you find out she's been married 5 times and she's working on number 6. She is the topic of conversation in the town. But Jesus has an appointment with destiny. And in this story, with a woman that would seem insignificant, he reveals to us how to tap into an eternal source that will never run dry. That's incredible. Guys, he met her at the place of her humiliation. She wouldn't go to the well in the morning because she was the topic of conversation in the morning. She would go at the hottest time of the day so that she knew she wouldn't run into anybody. Except today, she ran into Jesus. And Jesus gave her hope because he told her, listen, I'll give you water that will cause you to never have to come back and visit the place of your humiliation and your shame ever. See, how many of us live in the past? We live based on our view of how often we have failed, how many mistakes we've made, how many poor choices we've made. And Jesus is telling you, you don't have to live at that place anymore because I've put a well of living water inside of you that you can draw from at any point. At any time it's available to you. It's funny sometimes when people think they have to get into the anointing, right? It's already on you. The glory of the Lord is on you. And you grow from glory to glory, not from lack to lack. You grow from glory to glory because that glory is within you. And the more I focus on things that don't mean anything, the more I live in failure, and I don't have to live there anymore. Listen, Jesus talks about how a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit. And when we read that scripture, a lot of times people go, well, wait a second, I'm bearing bad fruit, so I must be a bad tree. Listen, that's not true. You're a good fruit because there is good fruit in your life. That bad fruit just needs to be pruned off so that you can grow fruit that will remain. Fruit that others will benefit from. But we got to change the way we think. I was teaching one of our first year classes. It might have been Tom's class. And I was teaching on the armor of God. And I did something you should never do, which is I knew about 3/4 of that. I had about 3/4 of it down. Until I got to gird your loins with truth, because I had no idea what that meant. And so I'm teaching, and I'm having a conversation in my head. And I get to gird your loins with truth, and here's what my thought process. My first thought was, loins is a funny word. And my second thought is, I have no idea what this means. And I kid you not, I've never had this experience before, but as I'm thinking that, and I'm still talking, and I don't know what I'm about to say, all of a sudden, here's what I hear. Gird your loins with truth, for whatever you believe, you'll reproduce. How many know that was way too smart to be me? Okay? Gird your loins with truth, for whatever you believe, you'll reproduce. See, inside of you is a sustainable resource called the Holy Spirit. And whatever you believe, you'll reproduce in your life. If you believe you have an eternal source, if you believe you have access to every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, then what is it that we lack? What is it that we cannot accomplish if we have everything attainable to us? What obstacle do I have that I cannot overcome? Listen, the Bible says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. How many know, have you ever seen a mustard seed? If I had one in my hand right now, not just because I have sausage fingers, but you're supposed to laugh at that, but whatever. Mustard seeds are small, okay, and you wouldn't be able to see it. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. What in the world? I read that scripture so many times and I thought, why would I want to do that? I don't know. I don't understand that analogy. And then I realized that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when I have the faith of a mustard seed, that mustard seed faith, that mountain that I am coming up against looks like the mustard seed because I'm seated with him in heavenly places and I have a different vantage point. Does that make sense? You have a different vantage point. So the problem that you have isn't as great as you think it is because you have a supernatural resource. Okay, now I can hear it in the room. But wait a second, I'm facing a problem I don't know how to fix. And I've been leaning on the Lord, and I haven't seen it happen yet. I've been there, done that many times before. In fact, I lived it for about 7 years. Okay? There's something that God is doing in you through the process that you should never circumvent. We went through a really... I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to because I feel impressed too. Jamie went through a really dark time. I thought that I was going to lose her. She went through the worst experience with anxiety and depression for probably 5 to 6 years. That process was not fun. I'll never forget bringing her to Reading because, you know, bring her to the best, right? So we brought her to the best of the best. And I dropped her off in the Sosa room, and I said, fix her. And so they took her in there, and they were in there for like 3 hours. So I thought, this is good. The longer, the better. Work that thing out, all right? Whatever that is, do your mojo. And she came out, and it was Teresa Liebscher, and I said, Teresa, is she fixed? And Teresa laughed at me, which was not a comforting thing whatsoever. Sorry. I went through process. And I got to the point where, as a pastor, when you don't have a solution, it's really hard to get up on a Sunday morning and preach with faith and power. I didn't know what to do. But God started doing this thing inside of me. Once I stopped trying to get the problem fixed and I started listening to him, he started doing something inside of me that I wouldn't trade for the world. I tell people I grew more in 5 years than I've grown in my whole life. And that was, God would meet me in my garage. And he would love on me. I can't explain to you what it looked like, but it changed my life. And what happened was it taught me how to love my family. See, we'd been married for 11 years. I thought I was a good husband until this happened. And I realized how selfish and how stupid I was. And God taught me to love Jamie. I wasn't so focused on her getting well. I was focused on me being the best dad I could be. See, I never went to the PTA meetings. I never went to the parent-teacher meetings with my kids. I never did any of that because I was the pastor. I had a job. Jamie was at home being a mom. That was what she was supposed to do. But all of a sudden, I had to. I never cooked. I am now the cook in my house. I had to do everything for my family because Jamie couldn't do it. She was in bed almost 24 hours a day. And the Lord started teaching me just how to do that, just how to love my family. And some days I did the best I could. Some days were awesome. Some days really were not good. But as time went on, Jamie started to get better. And this is where I'm going with the story. As she started to get better, I remember walking into to our bedroom in Fortuna, and the Lord asked me a question. He said, "Do you know why your wife's getting healed?" I said, "No idea. I'm assuming it's because of you." Good answer. He said, "No. It's because of you. It's because the love that you have for her is what's healing her." He's the eternal source. See, it says that you'll have a well inside of you that will spring up into eternal life. It's okay. This is family to me, so I'm just telling you my story. The well springs up to eternal life. That's a significant statement. Because in John 17:3, it says, "Eternal life is to know the Father and the one whom he sent." Wow. It's not about where I go when I die. Eternal life is to know the Father and the one whom he sent. That's why when Bill says every victory is eternal and every loss is temporary, that's the truth. Because eternity was born in your heart the day you gave your life to Jesus. You have an eternal source. You can do this because love is within you and love destroys every fear. What he was saying to that woman in the place of her humiliation is that I have something available for you that you've never experienced before. That's why you've been married 5 times and you're on number 6. It's called love. And it's called unconditional love that will transform you, that will cause you to never try to seek love in anyone else but me. Guys, everything we are is found in him. I want to see my county transformed. I want to see amazing things happen through Lifehouse in Humboldt County. But more than anything, I want to see him and I want to know his love. I'm not impressed with myself anymore. I was really excited when I became a pastor. I thought, this is it. I've reached the pinnacle. Then the reality hit me. And I realized what Paul realized when he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." My job is just to have a love relationship with God and lead others to that same love relationship. That is what transforms them. Guys, Jamie's doing amazing. She is... Now she runs the local brewery in our town. She's works for the, which is funny because when people ask me what I do, I tell them I'm a pastor, and then they ask me what my wife does, and I tell her she runs a bar. I don't know what to do with that, but here's the other funny thing. Jamie doesn't drink, so that's weird, but anyway. But it's awesome because she's bringing the kingdom into that environment, and every day she gets more and more healed. Becoming a sustainable resource means staying connected to the one whom your soul loves. Don't wander off from the reality that you're found in him, because everything you're going to produce is found in connection to him. Okay, I'm going to say this, and you can believe me or not. And I know you do. This place is significant. Weaverville is significant, not because of Reading. That's great. I love that place. I love going there. I get filled up there too. But you have a well here. And actually, you're the well. And there are people in this community, and I can see it. Listen, I honestly believe that in the weeks and months to come, our connection between the coast and Weaverville is going to grow. We have some amazing reinforcements coming. I don't know if you know Scott and Lacey Thompson, but they are moving from Atlanta to the coast. People are all like, why? Because God's about to do something significant. In fact, they turned Sean Bolts down for us. I think that's pretty impressive. Okay? Listen, It's happening. Our job is to believe. Our job is to stay connected to the source and believe what he's saying, and whatever we believe will reproduce. What if all of Weaverville would know Jesus? It's not a pipe dream. In fact, you guys could get it done way before us. But you're the well. You're the sustainable resource that they need to connect with. Okay, let's keep going. You guys okay? All right. There's more. Wait, there's more. I had a preaching Bible that I loved. It was a thin line Bible, and somebody stole my Bible. I don't know what in the world. Like, why do you steal a Bible? I hope they get something out of it. Okay, so let's jump down. You know the story where, you know, basically he reveals her life to her, which she already knew her life, but Jesus tells her that she's been married 5 times and on number 6. And then she has a revelation that he's a prophet, right? Let's pick it up after that. The woman said to him, "Sir," verse 19, "I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people," sorry, that always makes me laugh, "say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus was the second Adam. And that is incredibly significant, because the first Adam forgot his source. The first Adam had a relationship with love, because God is love. And when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he embraced religion over relationship. And he went from knowing love to being in need of love. See, our issues come from that. When we need love, we look for love in all the wrong places. It's not just a song. Okay? We're trying to find love. Sometimes we're trying to find love in my self-importance, or sometimes my lack of self-importance, because the victim mentality is everywhere, right? I look for importance in all these different places. When, as I said, God made a covenant with his son, because everything you are is found in him. You want to know who you are? Find him. He will reveal to you that you have love available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Love is a part of your experience, because you don't just know about love, you know love. God is love. Listen, love is the biggest topic that's sung about on the radio anywhere, right? But they don't know love because they don't know him, but you know him. What if we begin to reveal love like people have never seen before? I think it's going to transform our cities. I think, and people laugh at me when I say this, but it's absolutely the truth, love is the most powerful force in the universe. It is the most powerful source in the universe. The love that we get to experience, the love that I met in the garage of my house, was a love that had no condition on it. There was no condition on it. God said, "I'm going to love you right through this. You just stick with me and you're going to make it." And not only did I make it, I thrived. I became a different person. I'm not the same person I was when all that started, because I've met love and I have a relationship with love, and I want to stay connected to that, because when I forget, I try to find myself in stuff that's not worthy of me. I try to define myself by stuff that isn't even worthy of me spending any time on, because any time I start to believe that, I begin to reproduce stuff that's less than what I was born for. See, we make a big deal about sin, and I understand sin's a problem, but sin has been dealt with on the cross. Like, your sin is removed. Like, it's not an issue anymore, unless you let it. You know, Chris says all the time, you know, people focus so much on sin that they sin by faith, you know. It's true. We preach more about sin than we do about the kingdom, and that's a bummer because sin's not an issue anymore. It doesn't have to be. Okay, you've overcome that. There's a kingdom that's been invested inside of you. You were born for way more than that. Sin is to miss the mark. What I think is the greatest consequence of sin is I lose my confidence. You know, it means it's the Greek term to miss the mark. Well, if you're an archer and you constantly miss the mark, you're not going to be a very confident archer, okay? It's the same thing in our lives. When we continually miss the mark, we lose confidence. And we don't remember the source that we have, and we do things that are not worthy of us. What if we stay connected to Him? Okay, let me land the plane. He said that the time was coming, and now is, where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. You are spirit. You are a spirit having a temporary human experience. You are a spirit that has the ability to connect with God spirit to spirit. That's why there's times when you know things that you shouldn't know, because God has revealed it to you. But the next part of that little statement is incredibly important, because the word truth there means to be real. We got to be real. I had a revelation of this the other day. I went to see my doctor. And I found out that I was pre-diabetic. And I told I lied to my doctor. I didn't mean to. It just came out of my mouth. I was like, but I don't eat that much sugar. I really don't. I don't know why I would be pre-diabetic. And then when I had to stop eating sugar, I realized how much sugar I really did. And I felt bad because I lied to the woman. I didn't know I lied to the woman at the time, but it's been revealed to me that I lied to that woman. Listen, we're lying to ourselves sometimes about where we're at, about where we think we should be or where we're going. And the truth is that in Him, you're exactly where you need to be. In Him, we live and move and have our being. In Him, what God restored on the cross was everything that was lost. John 15:12. It didn't say He came to seek and to save that who was lost. It said that which was lost. Why is that important? Thank you for asking. Because you were born to live in victory. He restored your original identity. See, He died for your sin, but He rose for your transformation. You're being transformed to look and act like Him. Weaverville will never be the same when you arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon you. And I want to tell you something. Glory is on you. Stop focusing on the bad fruit you're producing. Just cut that limb off and produce some good fruit. He wants us to get real. If you're not producing good fruit in certain areas, be real about it. It's okay. All right, I'm going to be real with you. I told you about my kid, Misha, right? I love her. And parenting teenagers is an art form. She's amazing. One of the most truthful kids I know. Got into a relationship with a young man. In fact, she's still in a relationship with this young man. And let me backtrack. He is what I would refer to as barely saved, possibly pre-saved. I'm not sure. He's in sort of in the middle there. And so Jamie and I grew up in homes where you can't date somebody who's not a believer. So we sat her down and we had the talk. Okay, you can be friends with him, but you can't date him. Well, we thought that worked well. But she started seeing him without us knowing. I mean, this went on for a while, and it came out through a series of events. And I blew a gasket because it was scary. Because, you know, when you get afraid, you try to control the environment around you. Through the course of time, I had a conversation with my father-in-law, and he said, you know what you should do? And I'm like, oh, great. He's like, you should invite that young man over. And I thought, Dad, I don't want to do that. I want to kill him. That's what I want to do. In the name of Jesus, I would like to kill him. So we did it. And we sat them both down and we said, listen, you know, if you guys are going to be in a relationship, we want to be able to bless you guys and we don't want you to hide things. Up until this point, Misha's the most truthful kid on the planet. She tells on herself. So this was scary for us because it was the first time she'd really not been truthful with us. And so we just said, hey, listen, we're going to bless you and, you know, we're going to walk through. Here's some ground rules. Here's some things that are important to us. But, you know, that's cool. And we said, Trenton, listen, if you don't, we go to church on Sundays, but if you don't want to come, you don't have to. He came to church every Sunday. This is what love does, guys. It was scary, man. I was like, you know, this weekend, she came to us like 2 weeks ago and said, Trenton's parents want me to go camping with them in Bernie Falls. And I was like, what are the sleeping arrangements? It'll be all right, Dad. Don't worry. Okay, I'm not. You said yes? I said yes. Why? Because I'm going to trust you. I'm going to love you. And I'm really hoping that you're going to protect my heart. And you know what? She does. Guys, there's a lot of people that are come through this building and they're not all cleaned up. And it's not our job to clean them. It's just our job to catch them. It's God's job to clean them up. Okay? And they're going to believe things that we don't believe. But that's okay because unless we, you know, loyalty isn't tested unless we disagree. And we're going to learn how to pastor that. And we're going to love them right where they're at. And that love is what's going to transform them. Okay? I saw the fruit of that in this relationship, even though it was scary. Okay? We disciple a bunch of young people every year, and they make really scary choices. And you know what we do? We're like, bummer, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to change that? Because that's not who I see you as. I see you as amazing. And as we empower them and we show them that we love them, even when they make poor choices, it blows their minds away about who God is, because God loves us despite all of our stupid choices. God has factored in our stupidity. And He loves us anyway. In fact, He's madly in love with you, and the love that He has for you has never changed, not based on any of the poor decisions we've made, because His love is always there. Because He's an eternal source, a sustainable resource that lives within you, and all you got to do is tap into it. And how do you tap into it? You believe what He says. That's what's happening. That's what's happening in me. Okay? I'm not teaching you something that He isn't taking me through right now. And believe me, I don't know that I have an A in this topic yet, but I'm working on it. You know why? Because I don't want to teach you something I've studied, because that only ministers to you intellectually. But if I teach you something He's taking me through, it might just transform you. Listen, I have so much hope. Get ready, they're coming. They're coming. And you guys are at the forefront of mothering and fathering a new generation that are going to go out and transform the world through Weaverville. Do you realize that you have fruit on the coast because Jamie and I are there? You have an inheritance there because you guys sent us out to go there. And what happened? We're taken over. I love it. Now, listen, we love what our fathers have taught us. But we don't do everything they do. We do it in our own culture, in our own environment. We love Bethel, but we aren't Bethel. We're Lifehouse. And we reveal God in the way that He's created us to do it. And in the culture of the place that we live in. And it's working. And we got a lot of hippies over there. We got a lot of people doing all kinds of stuff. It's weird. You ever go to Arcata Plaza? It's incredibly strange. Okay, but God's doing something. We do a Sunday night service there. It's about 90% worship. And people come in. I mean, I'll tell you what, all kinds of people. We had a vampire there one time. But don't worry, he was a vegetarian. That's what he told us. I didn't even understand that, but we're going to write a book about it someday. It's powerful. Okay, it's weird, but I tell you what, God loves Humboldt County. God loves Weaverville. You know why? Because he put you here, and get ready. Because the Jesus movement isn't coming. It's already here. It's happening all around us. I've seen crazy stuff in the last year. It's amazing what God's doing. And I'm not just saying that. I'm being completely serious. The fact that God is invading culture in Humboldt is incredibly significant. And I know he's doing the same thing here. So let's stand together. I want to do something. If I was going to do this earlier, but I think it fits now. But if there's anybody here dealing with panic attacks or anxiety, if you could just raise your hand, okay? If you're standing around any of these people, you could just lay hands on them. I'm going to pray because I hate that stuff. So, Father God, right now, we just release your love in Jesus' name, Lord. We say that perfect love casts out every fear. And so, Lord, we declare anxiety be gone in Jesus' name. We release the supernatural love of Papa God into the atmosphere. Lord, may your love be so strong that it drives out every fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's not real. It's not real. He's real, but it's not real. And so, Lord, we just declare that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.